This is the Gatewood case, and I believe we have Ms. Johnson. Whenever you're ready to proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Victoria Johnson, and I represent the Commonwealth. And I don't really want to belabor the facts of this case. I know that the court is very familiar with them, but I believe this is a very important case, and I would like to address just a few aspects of it. This case involves the murder of an 18-month-old infant who, in the words of the prosecutor, before his death suffered the beating of a lifetime. And I submit that the record certainly supports that characterization. The issue on appeal is whether the trial court erred in admitting certain victim impact testimony at sentencing. This child's 16-year-old uncle stated during his victim impact testimony at sentencing that, and I'm paraphrasing, that he had heard that during the course of the trial there had been some questions about his and his family's credibility, and he wanted the jury to know that he had been telling the truth. Everything that they said was the truth, something along those lines. And that's the objection here. First of all, Your Honors, I submit that that testimony falls under the factors in 19.2.299-1, which governs the admissibility of victim impact testimony. The statute specifically allows victim impact testimony to include psychological injuries and impact on lifestyle as a result of the offense. As a result of this offense, the family members went through a criminal proceeding. They went through the stresses of a criminal trial. And, you know, through completely legitimate trial tactics, their credibility was questioned. You know, the defense attorney didn't do anything wrong in presenting the theory of the case and the defense. But I submit that under the statute, that was fair game for the 16-year-old boy to kind of volunteer at sentencing that he had been affected by this. As I recall, this wasn't an answer to a question from the Commonwealth directly. It was just part of what this young man wanted to say about the loss of his nephew. Even if there is some technical violation, however, of the statute and some error in the admissibility of that evidence, I submit on this record this was harmless error. This case is exactly what the harmless error rule is about. On harmless error review of sentencing, the Byrd case in this court states that the error is harmless unless it can be said to, you know, affect the outcome of sentencing, and that's cited in my brief towards the end. Here, the jury, who had already made the culpability finding, who had already made the guilt finding, had heard days of testimony that, you know, narrowed the time frame, the medical testimony narrowed the time frame as to when this child would have been beaten to time when the defendant had custody of this child, was taking care of this child. This child suffered really horrendous injuries. The medical testimony talked about injuries to the pancreas, the deepest organ in the body, injuries to the lining of the intestine from such severe beatings, and injuries to the liver, which was ultimately this child's cause of death. The medical testimony stated that the child's liver contained lakes of blood from repeated trauma, and that eventually ruptured and the child bled to death internally. Given those facts, and given that the jury had concluded that this defendant was the criminal actor, this testimony from this 16-year-old youngster at the sentencing phase could not reasonably have been said to affect the sentence here. I also note that the defendant did not get the maximum sentence. He received 30 years on the murder charge and 10 years on the child abuse charge. There was another 10 years available for the jury to impose. So I think that's strong evidence that there was no improper influence on the jury's verdict. I also know that there was no request at sentencing for any kind of cautionary instruction regarding that testimony. If the court has questions, I'm more than happy to answer them, but I submit this case is allowed, you know, the evidence was allowable under the statute, and even if it weren't, there's certainly harmless error here.
Questions?
No. One quick question.
Yes, Your Honor.
If the 16-year-old uncle was not a victim per the statute, why couldn't his testimony come in just anyway as general testimony at sentencing?
Yes, Your Honor, you're correct that it absolutely could have, because as the court obviously knows, the evidentiary rules at sentencing are relaxed, and as the court points out, yes, he could have made that statement as just general testimony. I believe he does fit the statutory definition of victim.
Under little Roman numeral 3?
Yes, Your Honor. That talks about family members of murder victims. However, as the court pointed out, it could have come in as general testimony as well. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Yes, you can.
Come down.
All right.